call the meeting to order. This is the Civil Service, San Luis Obispo County Civil Service Commission regular meeting, and this is Wednesday, August the 26th, 2020. And at this time, I would like to have the, our clerk call the roll.
Commissioner Nicholson?
Present.
Commissioner Baltadonna?
Present.
Commissioner O? Vice President Nix?
Here.
President Bergman?
Okay, we have a quorum. There are three of us. And at this time, I'd like us to stand and join in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. And at this time, I understand, Mark McGibbon, you would like to make a request.
Yes, thank you, Vice President Nix. Mark McGibbon with the County Human Resources. We have a request on the order of the agenda. If we can move item 5 down to below item 7, that is having 6 and 7 first, and then convene for item 5. We have some pressing issues for Director Hill here about 10 o'clock, so we're concerned about time. We have consulted with the District Attorney's Office folks and the representatives, and they're in agreement.
Okay. Are there any objections to making that change?
No.
Okay. Then we will take item 5 after we've considered item 6 and 7. Okay. At this time, going to public comment, members of the public wishing to address the Civil Service Commission on matters other than those scheduled below may do so when recognized by the President. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Yes, sir. If you would come to a microphone.
I promise I'm very loud.
Oh, well.
Everybody will hear me just fine.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Nicholson, move your catcher there. There you go.
Thank you. Members of the commission, good morning. My name is Matt Honnery. I am the president for the District Attorney's Office Investigator Association. And I'm here today to address the needs for the updating of the job specifications and titles for multiple investigator positions.
Excuse me, we're going to be taking that up under item number 5.
Okay.
So we will entertain your comments when we're addressing that subject.
Okay. Thank you very much.
To clarify, you'll have a public comment prior to the presentation of the...
We'll have a public comment regarding all of these issues. We allow the public to express issues. So yes, you will have an opportunity. And because I'm sitting in today for Mr. Bergman, so I'm a little rusty on all the details, I know someone will remind me. Nina will be sure that, yes, we have a team here. All right, is there any other individual wishing to address in public comment anything that is not on the agenda today? Seeing none, I will close the public comment period and move on to the minutes. We have several sets of minutes here, so let's work through them one at a time. We have the minutes of July the 13th, 2020. Commission, do you have any additions or corrections?
No.
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the minutes of July the 13th in that case.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, those are approved. The next minutes are July the 14th, 2020. Are there any additions or corrections to those?
No.
I just wanted to confirm that these were the meetings that I
You know, I'm looking at the present, you are not on the...
Yeah, but, yes, if these are the ones that I...
Okay.
Yes, I need to...
Excuse me, Nina, Madam Attorney, sorry. We do not have a quorum of people who were in attendance at this July 14th and July 13th meeting. I just now noticed...
Yes.
...that we're... So, do we need to set these aside?
Nina Negranti, Commission Counsel. Madam Chair, you may defer from taking the vote on those today and move those to the next commission meeting.
Okay.
So I need to withdraw my motion, the
yes.
prior motion.
Mm-hmm.
I'll withdraw my motion to adopt the minutes dated July 13th, 2020, because I neglected to remember that I was absent from that meeting.
Okay, and in that case, we will ask our Commission Secretary to return these two sets of minutes for consideration at our next meeting. And the next set of minutes, let's double check and make sure we were all there for that one. Yes, Ms. Baltonado was here. So let's consider the minutes from July the 22nd, 2020. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
No.
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adopt those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we've had first and second on that. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, the July 22nd, 2020 minutes are adopted. All righty. Next, we'll move on to reports. Commission President, I have nothing, and Bob did not offer anything for me to present on his behalf. Commission Counsel?
Nothing from Counsel, thank you.
Okay. Commission Outside Counsel?
Nothing here, thank you.
Okay. And Commission Secretary?
Nothing here, thank you.
Oh, see, when you took that mask down,
something.
Well, I thought that you were going to give us a yard-arm long updates to look at. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Mr. McKibben may have something.
Oh, Mr. McKibben.
Oh, no. We don't have a form. Advisory at this point. But good news, like if we have only one pending appeal going through the process currently, the pre-hearing is scheduled for this week. This is a probationary release out of the planning department, more specifically a promotional probationary release. We're going through the pre-hearing this week. If we're not successful, we would be looking for dates in October around your regular hearing date of October 28th. So without other commissioners here, it's probably not worth going through that process, but just advisory. One pending potential hearing date would be around your October date.
Okay. And so that will give you enough time if we take that up again at the September meeting?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else from the Commission Secretary or HR staff?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now we are ready to move into the, we've changed our list, so we'll move on to item number 6, which is the request to reassign the Deputy Director, Health Agency, to the unclassified service. And let me get my paper here. That would be Mr. McKibben?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Vice President Nixon, members of the Commission, this is Mark McKibben with the County HR Department. Along with me this morning at the table is Health Agency Director Mike Hill. The request of item number 6 is to move the position of Deputy Director of Health Agency from the classified service into the unclassified service. As the Commission is well aware, positions are grouped in one of those two classifications or statuses. Typically, the unclassified is made up of department heads, elected officials, assistant directors, are typically the second in command in the organization. If you look at item 6.001, at the bottom of that page, you identify the leadership team that Mr. Hill has in his organization. Behavioral health administrator, the public health administrator, public health officer,
and the Animal Services Director, as well as this position, make up as leadership team. As you can see, only the Deputy Director of Health Agency is the only class that's currently in the classified service. Now, we're not just talking about symmetry. There's other reasons that we believe that this is an appropriate position to move from the classified service. Some quick history. In 2006, the Health Agency was created by combining the Public Health Department and the Behavioral Health Departments, and this classification was created at that point in time. From 2006 until 2019, the responsibilities of administration, fiscal, and information technology were realigned to report to this Deputy Director of Health Agency position. Previous to that, those functions remained in their separate divisions. So they remained organizationally as they were as separate departments prior to bringing the health agency together. So in 2019, Mr. Bell reorganized that reporting relationship and had those functions, administration, finance, and IT all report to this position. In 2020, the position became vacant. We had a single incumbent from 2006 until 2020. It gave us a chance to take a look at how the organization was structured. Of course, those duties in the meantime have been separated and distributed amongst others in the organization. Mr. Hill, meeting with his leadership group as well as us in HR, looked at some options on what we might want to do from an organizational perspective since the position was now vacant. We certainly recognize at the leadership team it's important to have a cohesive team. People that are on the same page, all working together, pulling in the same direction. Mr. Hill is looking for someone who's motivated to implement his vision for the department and work together in unison with the other members of his leadership team. Part of the move from the classified to the unclassified service provides that opportunity, honestly, to provide a little more leverage, a little more motivation to get on and pull in the same direction as everyone else on that leadership team. A key element of this opportunity to move to the unclassified service is that we have some additional flexibility in negotiating salary and other benefits that may come along related to like vacation accrual and such. It's certainly possible that a candidate for this position is going to come from maybe a private sector hospital or as if someone just simply outside the county. They may come in with years of experience and have 4 years of vacation accrual or other things. The limits of the classified service don't allow us to negotiate in any way in those elements. And so moving this position to the unclassified service provides us that opportunity. So that's our presentation at this time. We're happy to answer any questions you may have about this item. Okay.
Mr. Nicholson?
I have no question.
Ms. Baldwin?
I just, one clarification. So the position is currently vacant?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. The Deputy Director, Health Agency, does this have any requirements for medical licensure or anything, or is it strictly administrative and financial and IT and so on?
It is the latter, strictly financial, IT, admin. But certainly we would, as we go through the process of the recruitment process, those who are familiar with the grants that come along with public health, public sector items are going to be one of the more qualified folks. I should clarify, well, we currently have a recruitment that we ran for this as a promotional internal recruitment. Happened during COVID times, so that's just been kind of sitting there communicating with the candidates. So our plan would be, if we're successful here today, notify those candidates that the position is now unclassified and they can request to continue to be considered or not, and then we run an open recruitment to bring in some additional candidates. We combine and consider all of those folks to identify the most qualified person.
If this was not to be changed for whatever reason, would you have candidates now who've applied and taken exam and so on, would you hire from that pool?
Correct. They would be considered as well as anybody else. I'm sorry. So yes, well, would we hire from that pool? We'd have to take a look. And what we've done at this point in time, I think there's only four or five names. It's a very limited pool. And they haven't gone through any formal examination process because of the conflicts.
Okay, so you just have MQs, so they haven't been interviewed or anything?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Is there any public comment on this particular item?
Commissioner Nix, can I first ask a follow-up question to you? So right now you say the pool is limited to 4 to 5 internal candidates, and it's just the process is just essentially stalled because of the COVID situation. Is that where we are?
That's part of it, as well as with the position coming vacant, it was an opportunity for us to take a look at the organizational structure and how we might want to reorganize.
Okay, so you're using the opportunity with the vacancy to restructure.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, typically how things work in the public sector.
Sure,
maybe
sure.
Maybe something
vacant. Yes, I understand.
Good, bad, or otherwise.
I understand. And so then if the change, if there is a change to the status, then would the existing candidates may or may not qualify?
The qualifications are not changing.
Okay.
It's simply their choice if they want to continue in an at-will relationship,
yes,
or remain under the classified service. Okay. That would be their decision.
Thank you.
Okay, and I did have another question. I just want to be sure I heard you correctly. The deputy director, health agency, this is a position that is at would be a second-in-command position to the health department director?
Correct. It is part of the overall leadership team. It is such a diverse organization. You've got public health, behavior health, animal services, mm-hmm, and administration. The four of these positions make up the overall leadership team. I can defer to Mr. Hill as far as...
Okay, and so they all report directly to Mr. Hill?
Correct.
And they're all separately in charge of their own department within that band?
Correct.
Is that correct, Mr. Hill? Did you want to add anything, Mr. Hill?
No, I just think it's a good opportunity to raise the profile of the position a little bit. It conveys, in my opinion, a higher level of esteem that you're out there, you're serving at will, you're between hiring authority, getting this job, and negotiate something good with people. Oh, I'm sorry. You're used to wearing the mask. So I think it's a good opportunity for someone to move into an executive style position and get their feet wet in the at-will service. I'm not looking at this as doing anything negative to the position. It brings that person to the same footing as the other direct reports that I have and gives them an opportunity, I think, to
okay. Is there any other comment from the and I did not see any public comment, so we'll close public comment and move on. Do I have from
I move just, that we remove the deputy director health agency from the classified service and reassign that position to the unclassified service.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept the recommendation regarding the moving this to unclassified. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That takes care of that one. Moving on then to the temporary modification of the qualifications of the public health lab manager. Mr. McKibben.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. McKibben with this request is very unique. I haven't seen this in my 15 years here with the county. And the situation we're in with the public health lab manager is indicated in the chair, some very rigorous requirements of the position. Some of them, including 4 years of experience, 2 years of experience, must be as a supervisor in that lab environment. A PhD, certification from one of 4 or 5 different certifying agencies, as well as certification as a public health microbiologist with the state of California. So those are challenging MQs to find at any point in time. Again, with all the current activity related to COVID and the impact on public health, work, it's been extremely difficult for us to find fully qualified positions of applicants for this position. The incumbent, Dr. Beebe, is intending to retire in September. The county's plan is to keep him on board as a contract employee because there are certain certifications that he has that are extremely difficult for us to find in the market right now. And those accreditations and certifications are essential to keep the lab as an accredited lab for all the work that we're doing right now. So the four candidates that we've come up with over the last 3 months meet most of the qualifications, but not all of them. And so our request is to provide flexibility to Director Hill and his team to identify the person that is mostly qualified for the position as the spec is currently written, and then have continued employment conditioned upon meeting those other requirements in whatever time frame that may be. And I have to have a caveat of whatever that time frame may be, because this is an individualized analysis or assessment of that particular person's situation. They may have the PhD, they may have the 4 years of experience and the 2 years as a supervisor, but they don't have state public health microbiologists. That exam is offered, let's say, 3 times a year, requires X number, so each one of these certified agencies that are appropriately required in the job spec have varying times when these certifications are becoming available. And so what we do, again, is identify the person most qualified, make that individualized assessment, be clear on what the conditions are for them to maintain employment. It would be hopefully meeting that final part of their qualifications. We considered a couple other options. One was to create a lower level spec, like an assistant lab manager specification. That was problematic for us as an organization. It requires us, by coming to the commission, we're here anyways, but come to the commission. We have to go to the board of supervisors. There has to be a position allocation change. We have to do a salary survey. And that would be for a single individual position. There would only be one of those ever in the county. The other approach would be to permanently reduce the minimum qualifications for a public health lab manager. Disadvantages of that would be that would now take us out of sync with other public health agencies that have lab directors. So our minimum qualifications would be different. And then begs the question, should there be a salary survey if we reduce the minimum qualifications? So we find ourselves in what we believe is a temporary situation, and rather than do a formal and official and final change, we are looking for that flexibility from the commission to allow us to identify the most qualified folks for this position, most closely meet minimum qualifications, again, with continued employment conditioned upon meeting the full qualifications. And if requested by the commission, we'd be happy to come back and report to you once a decision is made and where we stand with the actual implementation of this plan.
Okay.
Happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Nicholson?
So you're saying temporary. What do you mean by temporary? Are we talking months for the people you're looking at to qualify, years?
As I said,
is it going to end up being because somebody needs a PhD that we're actually making this pretty much permanent?
Well, each one would be its own individualized assessment. The candidates right now, I believe they all have PhDs that we've seen. The issue to narrow down is really the certification and how often those certifying agencies are now providing the option to be certified and what their unique qualifications are or requirements are. On 7.003, we provide a couple samples of two of the accrediting agencies there in that second bullet about the requirement of a 2-year fellowship program. The next organization requires experience in the last 10 years, et cetera, et cetera. So they're very situation specific. So no, our intent is not to make this permanent, because ultimately we need our lab director to be fully accredited, for the lab to be fully accredited and continue to do the job it has to. So a combination of Dr. Deeby's contract and bringing this person along until they're fully qualified is the best approach in our opinion.
So if we don't approve this temporary modification, what's the ramification of that? We're not going to be certified as a county lab?
Yeah, Mr. Hilton.
We need Dr. Deeby, the current lab director, we need his licensure to sign off on the laboratory license. So we will be taking the man who is currently the oldest employee of the county and asking him to stay on for an indefinite period by contract to keep signing our license, which doesn't seem tenable or fair to him. And finding a lab director, back in 2005 or 6, the federal government changed the requirements to be a lab director and made it nearly impossible to become a laboratory director unless you already were one. So there's two candidates that I think are within a year of becoming fully qualified. I haven't interviewed them, so I don't know anything about them really, but We think that within a year, somebody could get the qualification to be able to sign that license, and we could let that committee go on with his remainder of his life.
Thank you.
Thank you for this memo and your report, and also for providing us sort of with an explanation of the alternatives that you considered. That's helpful. I have a couple of questions, and one does touch on this. You know, it was a little unclear which minimal requirements we're looking at temporarily lifting, and so I wonder if there needs to be a distinction between certification as opposed to PhD, or, you know, there's a big difference between between those qualifications. I'm not sure if we need to drill down a little bit more there. I'm happy to discuss that more. But then I do wonder if there's any concerns about keeping Dr. Beebe on in a contract situation. I'm not sure legally if that is kosher, quite frankly.
Nina Negranti, Commission Counsel, AB5 issues and kind of contract versus employment, I trust have been reviewed by counsel, and I'm not sure if a final decision has been made, but that is certainly an issue.
Yes, I can ask Kate Power to fill in. She's been working on that part of this challenge for us. Thank you.
Yeah, Kate Power, HR analyst. I brought in Shannon and as well as Ann Dugan to County Council, Deputy County Councils, who have reviewed the AB5 requirements as well as the IRS 20-point factor test and the determination on whether the contract would be appropriate, mm-hmm. and it would be appropriate from their review to move forward in that capacity.
Okay, thank you. I think that's it. I think I'm just wondering if it's valuable to maybe clarify or pinpoint a little bit more on what minimum requirements we're looking at.
I think our preference as professionals handling this recruitment, and Mr. Hill, of course, being the ultimate decision maker, would be to work in the parameters to provide us the most flexibility to find the best candidate, because we may have candidates that maybe further away from some of these qualifications, but they have the right aptitude for the position. They have significant supervisory experience. They have an approach in their management style that fits in very well. So ultimately, we're not here to skirt the rules at all. Of course, that's why we're here. So I think our preference would be to have the greatest flexibility, but as Mr. Hill said, at the current point, with the four candidates we have, there are two within a year, it's basically certification. So if those folks indeed meet the other criteria, again, of being a leader, being someone who can run the lab, we will probably wrap this up fairly quickly, and those would be the parameters we'll be working with.
Okay, and also it sounds to me that your motivation or the need here has arisen in part because the strict federal regulations that have just made it harder in general, but I presume also because of the current COVID-19 situation that folks with this type of training and licensing are just, they're working. they're not,
constant
I'm yeah, constant demand, okay.
Constant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I tend to agree with what Ms. Baltanato was saying. I was concerned about what kind of priorities you had set for your candidates as far as the what you were setting a priority on for them having in order to come in without having everything. And I'm still not sure I'm clear on that. I hear you saying that you're looking for the best candidate, but I'm not clear if you know on what kind of priorities you're setting. Is it the leadership and the management skills that are the most important, or some other priorities?
I mean, I think it's something that the candidate pool would lead us to that prioritization. I think it would be. I wouldn't recommend a process where we have a priority, a predetermined priority. because, again, we're looking for someone who is the overall best fit and meets the qualifications. Now, that being said, the reality of our pool right now, there's two leading candidates. They're in a situation where they're requiring the certification, they meet all the other requirements, and they're going to be the focus of this recruitment, honestly. If we get one of those two folks, assuming they don't blow the interview, for lack of a better term, that we'll probably be selecting from one of those candidates that are only missing certification at this point in time.
And then just for some clarification, if the certification seems to be the biggest issue with the candidate pool you have, how you were saying a 1 year you thought, can you explain to me how you know how long it's going to take for them to get that?
The applicant's in her materials presented that she's eligible to sit for the American Board of Medical Microbiology exam in June of next year, and she has all the other qualifications. Another gentleman has everything but the California microbiology certification. But again, I don't want to bring someone in who's going to be a bad manager and cause trouble for the employees either. So they have to meet these licensing requirements, but they also have to be someone who's going to contribute in a positive way to the county organization.
Right. Okay. I don't have
how long would Dr. Beebe willing to hang in there for the county?
He has not given me a deadline. You know, he's been kind of dragging his feet on this retirement thing for a while, so we've been actively looking for a library for a long time. This finally got to the point where he doesn't want to be called an employee anymore without any further deadlines being set.
Could this change, if adopted here today, does it have any implications for the job pool? I mean, for the candidate pool? Would it change your job announcement? I mean, if someone is totally qualified but missing a California license because they've been working in Chicago for the last 10 years, they may not even apply knowing that they don't have the right licensing. What are the implications and potential for increasing your applicant pool? How do you plan to, how would this be executed?
Well, I think, I don't know, let Mark jump in, tell me if I'm wrong. I think my intent would be to re-advertise, to keep looking at the current applicants, but to re-advertise with some, you know, caveats to the qualifications and see if we get more people to apply.
Okay, so that's what I think what we're struggling. What are those caveats? How would they, what would it be that there's room for negotiation with respect to certification, or, you know, what would the job description look like with those caveats?
Well, we would keep it as broad as possible to say these are the qualifications that have to be met during your employment. Mm-hmm. A combination of these will allow you to qualify, mm-hmm, to be considered, mm-hmm, for the competitive process, and then we vet it from there. So, yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Nina Negranti, Commission Counsel, thinking ahead to how you're going to articulate what type of action your commission is going, mm-hmm, to take, and without being able to define which certain, mm-hmm, minimum qualifications you want to change, rather than changing minimum qualifications, couldn't you just take action authorizing a conditional hire subject to meeting the MQs as they stand without altering them within a certain amount of time?
I think that, you know, that's articulated much better than what maybe I presented here today, because that's exactly what we're looking to do. Let someone assume the position and continue employment while they finalize, meet that final requirement. So not changing the requirements.
So the commission is not actually adopting a temporary relaxed minimum qualifications. Those remain the same. You're just conditionally hiring, expecting them to still meet those qualifications within a certain amount.
Quite well said, thank you.
And that helps me, because I was struggling with the idea of how do we set aside minimum qualifications, and then how do we know when the minimum qualifications are back on the table? Right, exactly.
Being able to articulate
mm-hmm. So you're looking to do a conditional hiring.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
And there would be a time frame on that conditional hiring.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have no further questions.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public on this issue before we move on? Okay, in that case, I will entertain a motion on the conditional, allowing conditional hire of an individual for the public health lab manager.
I move to authorize the conditional hiring of a public health lab manager. The hiring would be conditioned upon the candidate meeting the minimal qualifications for the position within a specified time frame, depending on the individual candidate.
Second.
Okay. The motion has been made and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Set. And we are now moving on to item five, which is the request to approve revised job specifications for district attorney investigator.
Good morning, commissioners. Tracy McCarthy White, HR analyst in the Labor Division. With me today, I have Terry O'Farrell, chief of the investigative bureau, and Tasha Onkermont, HR analyst assigned to the DA's office. Before you today are three class recommendations for the district attorney investigators that was previously reviewed by your commission in February. As a reminder, we currently have an entry level, journey, advanced journey, supervisory, and management class encompassed within one specification. We brought the specs in February to create separate specifications for two classes that are not part of the career series, and to retitle the advanced journey level and supervisory level per our agreement with the representative union, BAIA, during labor negotiations. We propose the DA Investigator 1, 2, 3 career series be moved into its own specification and retitled District Attorney Investigator 1, 2, Senior. DA Investigator 3s are the advanced journey level, and incumbents in that class have used senior as their working title while working with other agencies, during courtroom testimony, and within the Bureau in excess of 10 years. The supervising DA investigator will be moved into its own specification and retitled Assistant Chief DA Investigator. After conversations with the union, the department, and market research, we found these title changes to be justified based upon the roles and responsibilities for those classes. Lastly, the Chief DA Investigator will be moved into its own specification with no title change. Your commission noted the rationale for updating these titles made sense, but directed us to return with changes to the minimum qualifications for the DA Investigator 2 and Senior DA Investigators. However, the changes you directed create what we believe is an unintended consequence of significantly increasing the minimum qualifications. Additionally, because minimum qualifications are a negotiable item, this would require us to meet and confer with DAIA. Our intent was simply to update the job titles and bring them into line with current industry standards and practices within the DA's office. And we believe your intent was to clarify the minimum qualifications. As noted in my memo, by maintaining but clarifying the existing minimum qualifications for our recommendation, the department would have the ability to promote highly experienced law enforcement professionals, such as former sheriff deputies, to the senior level within 3 years of being appointed as an investigator. This model has been effective because these incumbents have gained the other necessary skills and competencies required at the senior level through their prior law enforcement employment. However, due to the highly prescribed and regulated nature of the post-certificates required to advance to the series, these same minimum qualifications would not allow an incumbent without prior law enforcement experience to advance in the same time frame. Lastly, as noted in my memo, the qualifications of the DA investigator staff demonstrates the effectiveness of the current qualification requirements. The Bureau is staffed by exceedingly qualified candidates, and recruitments are highly competitive, with selected candidates most often exceeding minimum qualifications. Because of this, we have proposed a change to minimum qualifications that would clarify them without changing the intended experience requirements that we hope the Commission will find agreeable. The proposed specs are in your packet, along with the org chart, the presiding California Code of Regulations, and a summary of those regulations. Harry, do you have anything else?
Before we get into questions, I looking at the org chart, and that helps to see where we are and where we're going. And I see this looks to me like the org chart prior to any change of the titles of these positions, if I'm not reading it wrong. Yeah, there it is. The green square says District Attorney Investigator 3. And I just want to be clear in my own mind, that is intended that that green square would become senior. And then the assistant chief is already assistant chief, and the chief district attorney investigator, that one is currently in that same title.
Yeah, so this, my apologies. The assistant chief investigator is currently titled supervising DA investigator, but we're proposing to update it to assistant chief investigator.
Assistant chief, okay.
So this is the existing situation?
With the exception of assistant chief should actually be named here supervising DA investigator.
Okay, well, maybe because I think I'm more confused than I was to start with. It's not a long trip.
Right now, without any title changes, at the top of the dark blue square, we have the chief DA investigator. In the tan squares, that is currently supervising DA investigators, which we are proposing to retitle to assistant chief investigator. In the light blue square, we have district attorney investigator 2s with no title change proposed. In the green square, they are currently DA investigator 3s, but we are proposing to retitle to senior DA investigators. And in the gray square is DA investigator 1, which we have no title change proposed for.
And then if you'd go back up to the top, the navy blue square, that would now be assistant chief?
No, that is currently chief DA investigator and would remain chief DA investigator.
Okay. Okay.
So the title changes are only for the tan square and the green square.
Thank you. I think that'll help guide us as we ask questions and so on. Since we had someone who indicated an interest in making comment, maybe before we delve down into our questions, I'd like us to take the public comment on this item. So, sir, if you wish to provide us your comments.
Thank you for helping me find the right time to express my words.
Hey.
Again, my name is Matt Honorud. I'm the DEA investigator president for the association, and I'm here to talk about our current topic. As I'm sure you guys are aware from prior meetings with HR, in 2000, the classification for investigator was had its last revision. And obviously in life and in everything, in 20 years, a lot changes. And it's our goal to adapt and change these classifications as well. The supervising district attorney investigator has not been changed in over 5 years. And as we encounter new challenges in policing, this is allowing us and the management team an opportunity to create a vision for how we want things to be done in the future. I'm thankful for the time that has been spent by Chief Investigator O'Farrell and Teresa McCarthy-White from HR. They've worked very diligently to update and modify these job specifications in order to set standards for the Investigative Bureau. These specifications are laying the groundwork for individuals that will be hired for the Bureau and ultimately their ability to serve the people of San Luis Obispo County. These changes also include the title change for two of the positions, specifically as Ms. McCarthy-White pointed out, is having the supervising DA investigator change to assistant chief and the DA investigator 3 be changed to a senior investigator. There are many reasons to have these change in titles. I've personally worked at the district attorney's office for 4 years and have been working law enforcement in the county for 16. And for as long as I can recall, the Bureau has been comprised of a chief investigator, two assistant chiefs, and then a bureau of investigators and senior investigators. For supervising, our current supervising district attorney investigators, their badges actually say assistant chief on them. And our district attorney investigator threes are commonly referred to in police reports and courtroom testimony on business cards as senior investigators. I believe that it's very important for there to be a consistency in this name identification of these titles. Allowing the name change also helps to identify their job roles to outside agencies and people that we meet in the public. The assistant chief is second in command to the chief of the bureau. They assist the chief directly, and they each manage a series of investigators on a daily basis. They are also responsible for seeing many aspects of bureau operations, which go well beyond just supervision, as the title DA supervisor would refer to. The title of assistant chief is a more inclusive title that represents their true responsibilities. And then senior investigators are individuals who have had numerous years of investigative assignment. Currently, our bureau, the average senior investigator, I would say, has no less than 10 years of a high level of investigative experience, whether that be at a local agency such as a municipality or the county level, as well as time spent as a DA investigator. They are identified as a senior based on their experience. This can be in the form, well, it's very common for law enforcement agencies to identify their more senior and experienced people at a local agency. It could be by referring to them as a master or senior officer or detective. They also use identifications on uniforms such as stripes or stars to represent their time on. This is actually a very important thing. This identification of experience is important. It helps instill trust in the public and the people that they are working with when they truly understand the level of experience that somebody has. It can also be...
Excuse me, your 3 minutes are up, but if you would, if you have, if you could just kind of get to the end of, if you have anything other than what you were just...
Yes, in closing, I appreciate your time and the consideration for this. I think it would be a beneficial change to update the current titles for the Bureau, the District Attorney's Office, and the community. Thank you.
Okay, before you step away, did you have any specific issues about the content of the qualifications and the knowledge and abilities that are in the, did you have an opportunity to look at those before they were brought to us?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and are you okay with the recommendations that are coming to us from the HR department?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you very much. That was what I wanted to know, where you were on whether you felt there needed to be changes or not.
We are in agreement with what HR has proposed to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other individuals who wish to make public comment on this matter? I will close the public comment and bring it back to the commission for questions. Mr. Nicholson, do you have some questions?
Not really a question. The only thing, and I don't know if I brought this up in February or not, but coming from a civil litigation side, at some point we need to identify in the job duties of investigators that not only are they investigating criminals, but they are investigating civil, especially fraud, white collar crime. I know that when we had problems with hard money lending, I think that was lacking because most of the investigators come up on the criminal side and don't have the experience. So I guess it's not really a question, but it's a thought. And I guess when Mr. O'Farrell and are looking for other for investigators, I'd ask that be included in your consideration.
Sure, and we've addressed that. We have two investigators who really came to us with a lot of experience in major fraud investigations. One who is primarily, their focus is real estate fraud, even hard, that includes hard money lending. So, over the last 5 years or so, our experience level has increased tremendously when it comes to that. So, and they'll focus on the civil side of it. One investigator recently actually just sat through a deposition involving civil case fraud. He was and to testify at that position. So we're definitely involved in the civil side as well.
Thank you.
And to follow up on that, that wasn't in top of mind for me when I was reading through this again. Maybe you could direct us to, is there anything in this job spec that can help us identify that we've done due diligence in making sure it's somewhere called out, or would that help you, Mr. Nicholson?
It's referenced in there, but
okay.
Just from a practical experience point of view, especially being around when hard money lending issues were going
right.
on, it didn't. My observation was that there wasn't a great focus, or there wasn't somebody in the DA investigator's office mm-hmm. at that point in time that had the experience necessary to deal with that situation.
Okay.
And to answer your question, Commissioner, under the employment standards, from your knowledge of, on page 5A.008, for district attorney investigator 2, it says, in addition to the requirements for DA investigator 1, the 2s must also know the criminal and civil law pertaining to cases in the jurisdiction of the DA, including laws of arrest, search and seizure, failure to provide, and consumer fraud, rules of evidence, corporate procedure, et cetera. So it is referencing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It just helps us. We look at a lot of these different things, and it's not top of our mind sometimes. And that was one of the things I was thinking about, too, as I was looking over this, is how if you have someone who has law enforcement experience, they may already have some training and knowledge about the various subtleties of how you go about this. And I appreciate this clarification. Ms. Baldonado, do you have questions?
Not too much. I remember last time when we first reviewed these issues, my concern was just on clarification of the post requirements and how those applied to each position. And I remember requesting that sort of be brought up and attention, that we draw bigger attention to that and define post. And so I see that's happened. And so that I'm satisfied with that, and that's very helpful. And I know you provided a lot of supplementary information as well on those post requirements, so thank you for that. And then my other question is really just to clarify here, would a district attorney investigator 1 report to a 2 and a 2 to a 3, or is it not organized that way? Because the chart doesn't really reflect that.
So the one would still directly report to an assistant chief investigator. Okay. If they were in the field doing work, you have, we talked about senior investigators.
Yeah.
They would take a role of, but on a day-to-day basis, they would report to an assistant chief who would do their evaluations, who would do daily evaluations of them. And then if that assistant chief wasn't available, senior investigator would take that role.
Okay. I'm not sure how all the lines line up here, but I don't.
More clarification.
Yeah.
We've never hired an investigator 1.
I see.
We've never posted that position. Whenever somebody leaves the agency or retires,
okay.
Usually we're hiring for the investigator 2.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Sure.
No further questions.
Okay. I do have some things just to help me understand better, and this where is it? Down here someplace. I bogged down a little bit, and this was something that I may have read over and over different times and never really focused on it, but I am looking at 5A009 and line 114. And this is a similar language throughout all of these, and it says completion of 2 years of college level course work, which include at least 60 semester units in, and then it gives the laundry list. And what struck me is the average, if I'm remembering correctly, per semester is like 15 units or something like that. And 2 years, that would mean you would get 60 units. So I was just wondering if you really mean 60 units, parenthesis, 2 years of college level work, focusing on the list of other items. Because otherwise, if you say include at least 60 semester units in criminal justice, et cetera, that sounds like, if I was looking at it as a novice out wanting to apply for a job, that in my 2 years in college level, I wasn't taking history and English and algebra. I would be taking all criminal justice courses. Do you see how?
Yeah, so in most higher education places, you would have to take other classes
right.
in order to get that AA in criminal justice.
Right.
So we would consider that to be the full 60 semester units, but if you'd like me to clarify that statement, I'm happy to do so.
I think if you just, yeah, that would be fine just to move 60 semester units to connect with 2 years of college rather than having the implication that they have to have 60 units of the justice and criminal justice mm-hmm. courses. Okay, then is it here? I do like the part where you have added that the experience to be substituted would be, I'm down on line 115 now, assigned to a specific investigator detective unit as a peace officer. I thought that is effective to clarify that experience was what the exact experience you wanted. What confused me a little bit, and I think you can probably just clear this up, is I would go through each of them and I would look at, okay, if you had a police officer who didn't have the AA degree, but had
two additional years,
so then would this mean that officer would have 4 years of experience, or would they qualify for the position with 2 years of experience?
No, they would not qualify for the position with 2 years of experience if they did not have the AA. Okay.
Okay, and that would be all the way through okay. And then in some of our educate MQs, and this has been a debate over time, I know, but I think that we had added other, that they might substitute other experience or knowledge for some of the MQs. In this position, is that not possible?
That is not possible because of the post certificates required to advance. Those are highly regulated.
Right.
And so there would not be
okay. Good. And the reason I wanted to point that out is that I think that helps me to see the due diligence on the part of HR, that you are looking specifically, and if it's a position that allows flexibility versus something that is so highly regulated. I appreciate that distinction that you've done. I think with that, I don't have any other questions. We've already had public comments, so if there is a move to approve.
Ms. Garanti, what exactly are we approving? I guess how should we phrase it so we properly adopt what was
revised
recommendations of HR staff. Revised job specifications.
The memo says revised class classifications.
Maybe HR can clarify
exactly. Yeah, 5A001 under recommendation. Mr. Grantee, does that summarize mm-hmm. properly what we have? And is that?
Yes.
HR agrees that's okay. So I believe that 5A001 under recommendations would be the appropriate motion.
I move that we accept the revisions to the specifications that we tentatively approved
on February 26, 2020, to title District Attorney Investigator 1-2 Senior, Assistant Chief District Attorney Investigator, and Chief District Attorney Investigator.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, those are approved.
Thank you,
Commissioners. Thank you. Now we are moving on to public comment on our closed session item. We do have a closed session item. And so I would open it to any public comment. Seeing none, I close the public comment and ask that we turn off the tape record and go into closed session to discuss this with our attorney. And we are discussing pending litigation code section 54956.9 parent A. The commission is back from closed session. We have made no decisions. We directed our counsel, and this meeting is now adjourned.
If you need
Sorry about that.